reading to you from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah and with the 11th verse. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. Ye are my witnesses, declare the Lord, that I am God. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 46 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Oh, friends, listen, we had a wonderful time out at the Jefferson County Prison. We had two services. One was at 8, and one was at 9. We didn't get out until about 10:30. And there was a few women saved, and there was a few men saved. But we were right in the pod with them. And I don't want to do that again, because there was some of the ladies was not one bit interested in the gospel or the singing. And they spent their time flushing toilets so that we could not be heard. But the ones that should have been there did hear, and several of the women responded to Christ. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour night. Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Forget Christmas shopping for a spell, and let's look to the Lord and see what He has for us tonight, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me tonight? And Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I do thank you, continue to thank you for the prison ministries. Lord, I pray that you'll work on my knees and help them to get better so I can walk. And when I stand about a half an hour, Lord, you know my knees hurt so bad I can't hardly stand it. But I pray, Lord, you'll give me that strength. And I thank you for what you did out there. And I thank you, Lord, for your blessed Holy Spirit. We realize, Lord, it's you that does everything. All we are is messenger boys for Jesus. Father, I pray for our great country. I pray for our president and our leaders. And, Lord, do something over there in Jerusalem. I know that there won't be peace. You gave them that land, and now they're trying to get it away from them. So, Father, you work on us and help them. Father, we pray that you'll take care of the physical and financial needs of our listening family. Pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts for those who could help us with the Christmas baskets. It's drawing near. Now, Lord, I pray you lift up Jesus on your word. Hide me behind the cross. Save that sinner en route to hell tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to the first chapter of Romans? And let's begin reading with the 14th verse. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, so to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. Paul said he was called to be an apostle. He was not preaching because he chose to be, had the ability. He had been encouraged by others to choose a ministerial profession. He enjoyed working with others? No, he was an apostle, a minister of the gospel for one reason only. God had called him. Friends, listen to me. Listen. I am so sorry, but there are lots of preachers in the pulpits today who were mama called. Now, it is not wrong to want to be a preacher, But, dear friends, you need to be called if you are going to be effective. You have heard me say many times, I surely didn't choose or didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to be a roofing contractor. I loved to roof, let me tell you, I really did. Dr. Douglas White told me once, Cecil, if there's anything that you can do that would bring more happiness to you than preaching, then you are not called of God. Friends, I know so many preachers, and listen, I have a cousin. I love the guy, and he's so much smarter than I am. Believe me, he is. He just is a very educated man. His aunt, his grandmother was my aunt, so he was my second cousin. When my aunt passed away, we all came home to the Dalles to her funeral. And we had a dinner after this service up at my aunt's place. And my cousin came up and he said, Cecil, I hear that you're a preacher. Well, I said, yes. He said, let me ask you a question. Have you been to seminary yet? And I said, nope. Well, he said, let me tell you. I used to believe this Bible from kiver to kiver. But after I got out of seminary, I don't believe hardly any part of it. I surely don't believe in a virgin birth, and I don't believe in hell, and I don't believe there's a devil. And he went on and on, and I couldn't believe that here's an intelligent, very intelligent man telling me he did not believe the Bible. I said, well, let me ask you, why are you going to preach? Well, it's a good profession. I said, no, it's a calling, not a profession. Well, there was no use arguing with him. He went on and pastored for years and burnt out, of course. And when I was a director of the mission in Grand Forks, in Youngstown, Ohio, he was a pastor of a large church in Pennsylvania. He called me one day and he said, Cecil, I have so many alcoholics in my church, and I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to do. I could not believe my ears. I said, listen, son, tell them about Jesus. And it just kind of hit a blank wall. Because here's a man, I don't know if he's saved. I can't say he's not saved. But boy, it makes me wonder. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, I don't say you can believe the Bible. Now, if you have unbelief, what I would do for you, I'd call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I am covered with unbelief. Lord, show me what is right and wrong. I told you, when I was a baby Christian, about 3 months old, we had a layman in our church who I thought was the most spiritual man I'd ever known. He was really a neat guy. And when he prayed, it just seemed like the heaven came down. One day he came to me and he said, Cecil, did you know, I know you love Brother Tom. Well, he was a man that led me to Christ. He said, but he's not telling us the truth. Well, you got to knock my eyes off the ticker. What do you mean he's not telling the truth? Well, he's telling you this now. So this one particular Sunday, I went to church with a real heavy, heavy heart. And my pastor, Reverend Tom Baird, got up and preached on the very subject that I needed to know about. He said, folks, I probably studied under some of the best New Testament, Old Testament professors seminary had to offer. But I'm here to tell you one of the greatest teachers in them all is God's Holy Spirit. Now, he said, if you... you have something that you want to find out. You need to get on your knees and you need to pray and say, Lord, show me where the scripture is that I need to help me to grow in grace. My stars in the morning. I couldn't wait to get home. And I said, Lord, you please straighten me out on this thing what my brother Roberts has been telling me. Why, the scriptures jumped out all over and proved that my friend was wrong. The preacher had not told a lie. This man had not, believe it or not, had not grown enough. He'd been on milk and never had any meat. Years and years ago, I was preaching at a World Mission Conference in Virginia. We went to this large church about 100 miles south of Roanoke, and Dr. McClung was the pastor there. Well, I got up. They wanted me to share my testimony, so I did. And Dr. McClung walked up to me, and he said, "You know what? I'd like to have you come and preach a revival in this church." He had never discussed it with his deacons. I'd never heard of such a thing. But he was so moved to the Lord that he felt that he should invite me to come, and which I did. Well, in fact, I preached three revivals right in a row from just this one church. And Pastor McClung had three churches over the years, and I preached revivals in every one of them. Well, he told me one day, "Cecil, when I hit 65, I am retiring from the ministry." And he seemed to be so glad. Friends, it made me sick, because Dr. McClung was one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. He was loved wherever he pastored. I came home and I told my wife that Dr. McClung told me about retiring. I said, "Man, I sure don't want to quit preaching. And if I could preach as good as him, I'd never quit." One day I received a letter from him telling me that he had retired and how happy he was. After 8 months passed, I was called to Virginia to preach a revival in two different churches. Well, when I got to this pastor's home, the first church I was preaching, I received a phone call from Dr. McClung. He had read in our denominational paper that I was coming to Virginia for two revivals. He called me and said, "Cecil, while you are here, could you come and preach for me? I'm pastoring a church now." I thought, well, I thought he told me that he had retired and how happy he was. Now, when it was time for me to come to his church for revival, he invited me to stay at his beautiful home out in the woods. This day we were sitting out on the stoop, you know, that's what they call down the South, stoop, drinking a big old glass of iced tea. A smile came over his face and he said, "Cecil, did you know I lost my voice a few months ago?" He said, "I went to several specialists, I went everywhere, and they could not tell me what was wrong with me." So he said, "I was sitting out on my stoop, and the Lord urged me to go down to that old apple tree and get down on my knees." So he said, "I did." Then he said, "I started praying, and this is what I told the Lord. Lord, you know I've preached for you for many, many years, and I enjoyed serving you. But now I'm sitting on the bench. Lord, I'll do anything. I'll do anything if you'll give my voice back." Did you know what happened? That night, his voice came back to him, and he preached up until his death 4 years ago. What a preacher. But you see, friends, look, I'm 76. I retired in 1982. I have never in my life been busier. Now, if I got paid for all the hours and stuff we did, I'd be a rich man. I don't get paid in money. Oh, but the blessings are so many. Oh, God is a wonderful God. And, you know, friends, let me tell you, God does supply our needs. I don't know how he does it. I have no idea how he does it. But he does. So if you're a Christian and you're kind of, you're down in the dumps and you think, well, I guess God forgot me. Hey, he hasn't forgot you. He even knows your name. In fact, dear friends, he knew you when you were in your mother's womb. Now, let me tell you, God has a purpose for your life. You may feel that you're insignificant. You may feel that you're a nobody. But you are somebody to God. Anyone who would die for someone's got to think a lot of you. Hey, I got to go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, God loves you tonight. So now let's go on. Paul considered himself in debt to everyone, the Greeks, the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. The other night over in prison, I was telling those ladies, I said, ladies, I know that a lot of your family has turned against you. You may even have lost your husband or your sweetheart. But let me tell you something. God still loves you. If you will turn from your sins and turn to Jesus, he still loves you. And he has a job for you to do. Now, maybe it's right here in prison. One day I was preaching in the men's prison, and this man walked up with this black fella. He said, did you know what? This man introduced me to Jesus here in the prison. Oh, I tell you, it just thrilled my heart. Because that's what I tell him to do. I said, find a good Christian in your prison. Find one who likes to read the Bible. Have a Bible study. Of course, friends, they do have Bible study every day in the prisons. Someone asked me, well, what happens whenever they're saved? They have Bible study. They have courses they can take free. Well, Paul was in debt because he had received the gospel. He was discharging the debt by preaching the gospel. Now, Christian friend of mine, if you've been truly born again, you should feel an obligation to tell others about Christ. I sure do. Christ was a driving force in Paul's life. Verse 15. This is why I'm eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. See, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is a power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. What is the gospel, someone might ask, who does not know Jesus? What is the gospel? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, for what I received I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Friends, had Christ not died on the cross for your sins and mine, there would be absolutely no hope for salvation. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. We should not be ashamed to share this good news. Too many believers are ashamed to share the good news. Is it because you're not walking your talk? That could be part of it. Are you ashamed to tell others of Christ's love? Are you ashamed to seize opportunities to witness? Oh, friends, listen, I told you this a long time ago. I was flying to Seattle to do a TV show, and I prayed the night before that God put me on a plane where I could be sitting beside someone who needed the Lord. Sure enough, the next morning I got on a plane. I always get on the aisle side, and there was a seat, empty seat between. This young lady, about 29, was sitting on the window side. And I wanted to witness to her, but you know, you got to be careful how you witness to young women, especially men. So I gave her a part of my newspaper and said, would you like to read the paper? And when my breakfast came, I bowed my head and I returned thanks. She looked at me and she said, are you one of them? This is exactly what she said. Are you one of them born-again Christians? I said, as a matter of fact, I am. She said, my sister is. My brother-in-law is a Christian. So I knew that God had answered prayer. So boy, did I start witnessing to her. And you could see the Spirit of God working on her. Now, it just seemed like it was just minutes later. Of course, it was 2 hours. And the captain said, we're preparing to make our final approach to Seattle International Airport. I said, ma'am, did you know the most dangerous part of flying? She said, no. I said, when you land and take off. I said, just what would happen if when that plane come down, bang, it hit the thing, a tire would blow out, and we'd blow up? Oh, she said, don't talk that way. Please don't talk that way. And I did something that only the Spirit of the living God could have ever. I would have never done that. I reached over and I took her by the hand and I said, lady, did you know, according to my Bible, you could be saved before this airplane hits that runway? Would you like to pray to receive Christ? And she said, oh, yes. And she did. And when we got to the airport, she took to in her plane to Alaska. And she came over and she hugged my neck and she said, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for telling me about Jesus. You see, my friends, there was a person that God wanted someone to talk to. You come down to the Black Eyed Pea Restaurant on Friday of every week and you'll see Reverend Ken Jackson, Tex Freeman, and Bill Adelong and myself, and see if we don't share Christ with those who wait on us. We have led people to Christ in that place of business. We've prayed with people there in that business. Oh, yes. Let me ask you, are you ashamed to share your faith to lost people? If you are, you really should be ashamed of yourself. How can we be ashamed of Jesus when he endured our shame on the cross? See, Paul was amazed at the power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. What the gospel accomplishes, it saves souls from hell. It offers hope to lost sinners. It brings about the new birth when it is received. It makes all things new in believers. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Friends, he surgically removes that old heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. See, the gospel is a dynamite of God, changing lives and bringing eternal life. As I've said so many times in my own life, and I'm not proud of this, but I left home at 2 a.m, drunk out of my mind. I returned home after 5 a.m., saved, sober, and sane. Whoa, who did that for me? King Jesus. And he can do the same thing for you if you'll let him. You think my wife wasn't surprised when I came home sober after 30 days of crazy drinking? And I went down. I got a bath. Hadn't done a bath in months, I seen me. I went and got some clean clothes on, went down, bought a Bible, got a haircut, come back, and I sat in my living room and I read that Bible. I read it and I read it and I cried and I prayed. And I'll tell you something else. When my three sons came in the house that morning, or that afternoon, they looked toward my wife and said, Mama, what's wrong with Daddy? And she said, oh, boys, your daddy got religion. No, I didn't get religion. I got born again. Now, my wife watched me like a hawk. Every time I was 5 minutes late, she was just sure that I was down getting drunk. No, I didn't get drunk because I had a Savior. He delivered me from the curse of alcohol. Friends, listen. Christmas and New Year's is the hardest time for alcoholics and drug addicts. I'm telling you, I've been there and I know. And I've been saved for 46 years and I do have trouble around Christmas. Oh, I don't have trouble to want to go back to drink. No, absolutely not. But I think about the terrible life that I lived and the heartaches that I caused my dear family, my wife. I tell you, if my wife don't get 5 big crowns and I get 1 little one, it was through her help and through her, and after I was called to preach, she couldn't understand why I would give up a roofing business to go be a preacher, but she stuck with me. And her and I have traveled halfway around the world telling this story to people who have no hope. That's why I'm not ashamed. Listen. Paul was a Jew, and he had thought that salvation must be for the Jews only. He had been proud of his heritage. He had been a persecutor of Christians. He considered himself the chief of all sinners. Still, he discovered that the gospel message could save him. Now he knew that the gospel was for all people, Jews, Gentiles, rich, poor, black, white, the up-and-outers, the down-outers. Paul was thrilled with the whosoever of the gospel invitation. I was preaching one time in my church in Oregon, and a guy jumped up and he said, did I hear you preacher say that your denomination was the only one going to heaven? I said, no, I said, the Bible said, whosoever will may come, and kept right on preaching. Now listen, tonight there is a call to those who need to respond to the gospel first, a call to those who are ashamed of the gospel, a call to believers to share the gospel. Let me ask you, friends, what is your response tonight? See, friends, the decision is yours and yours alone. Your mama can't make it. Your preacher can't make it. Your church can't make it. This is your decision. Now, you might be a Christian. You might be born again. And you might have been very useful for the Lord. You might have been a Sunday school teacher. You might have been a deacon. Something happened in your church and you threw down your hands and you walked away. Well, if Jesus, if you're born again, he didn't walk out of your life. But he's trying to bring you back. He's trying to bring you back so he can comfort your heart and love you. Repent of your sins and tell him, Lord, I did mess up. Lord, would you forgive me? And the Bible said he will. Now, if you're not saved, my Bible tells me you need to do something about it. You need to do something now, tonight. You say, well, what do I have to do? Well, first of all, you have to recognize that you are a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, and you can't. And if the Spirit of God is tugging at your old heart right now, won't you just bow your head right now and pray this simple but powerful prayer? Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, come into my heart right now and save me and help me, Lord, to live free the rest of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. The other night I was preaching and a young man called me and he'd prayed that sinner's prayer and we rejoiced together. I sent him a book. And listen, if you did pray that prayer, would you get on a phone and call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for the money. Friends, I don't care where you go to church, but I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Bring your sins to Jesus. Let him save you. And if I can help you spiritually, please call me because I am concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. This call will not cost you anything. This is a labor of love. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.